Wishbone Boys Wednesdays continues here on the Wake Up Call. Terry Davis, quarterback in the early 1970s for the University of Alabama, is joining us this morning from Ozark. Good morning, Terry. Appreciate you being with us.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. And as I told you during the break, hello to Les Peralta. It is Carol of Ozark Football Games. We know him from way back. They do the games down there like we do the games up here in Tallahassee, and we'll look forward to seeing him this year as we play him at the end of the season. I know you said you knew Les. Good guy.
Yeah, very, very nice guy, and does a lot for the community, a lot for the school, obviously.
That's so, right.
We appreciate him a lot.
Well, talk about your time coming up before you even got to Alabama and how you ended up at the University of Alabama playing for Coach Bryant.
I'm really not. I don't know who maybe introduced me to the scouts or whatever. I grew up wanting to go to LSU. And back in our day, there was only one game a week on TV. So generally, it was a Notre Dame or Michigan or Ohio State or one of the big national schools that I wasn't a big spectator fan. I didn't sit around and watch football games on Saturday afternoon just to be watching the game. I was generally out playing. So The only time I would watch it if LSU was playing. So I didn't know anything about Alabama, basically. I knew the name, obviously, and I can't recall ever seeing Namath play a game or anybody else in Alabama. I got a brochure in the mail during my junior year, early in my junior season in high school, just outlining the accomplishments and history of the school. So obviously I started paying attention then. And from that point on, of course, the more I learned about the school, Coach Bryant, and the tradition, the championships and so forth, it became a real possibility. And they pursued me more than any other school, actually. LSU did recruit me pretty good, but not nearly as heavily as Alabama did. So once I learned everything about the school and the kind of offense they were running, and it was just a very good situation. I felt very at home when I visited there. They were extremely nice to me and my parents. It was a personal recruiting trip. I had to. Maybe a student athlete or one of the assistant coaches took me around the school and showed me things, and they had someone that took care of my parents. So it was totally different than any other recruiting trip that I made. So I'm glad it worked out the way it did.
Talk about the high school you played for.
Book Wilson High School. Had a very long history of success, a great coaching staff. In fact, one of the coaches was Gary Dildy, who has some connections here in the Ozark area. But back in the 50s and through the 60s, Bogalusa was a smaller school, but competed in the higher levels, always in the top tier of the competition. And we played Baton Rouge League, and we played the schools in New Orleans. So it was a tough schedule for us, but we competed very well. My junior and senior year, we made it to the state playoffs, won two games my junior year, and lost in the first round my senior year. So we had a very very competitive team, not a very big team. We were always pretty small. I think our offensive lineman, we had two guards that didn't break 170 pounds. So we were a small team, but a pretty gritty team. We had great coaches. In fact, Coach Murray, after I got to Alabama and saw how the practices were laid out, the segments and so forth, Coach Murray, our practices in high school were kind of the same format. You had so many minutes there, so many minutes in each area that you were working on. So it was very well organized. My offensive coach, Tommy Leos, I got to know him as I was in junior high school. I didn't start playing quarterback until the ninth grade in junior high school. So from that point on, I went over to the high school during the summer and participated in their summer workouts. And Coach Leos used me, I guess, as some motivation for the older guys. He let me run the sprint races that they had during the workout. So He took an interest in me, and probably without a doubt had the most to do with the success that I had in football. He was a tremendous coach, and from there it just kept growing. I was blessed with a lot of talent, I guess you'd say, good Lord was good to me in that respect. And but I worked very hard at it. I spent a lot of lonely hours by myself, basically just throwing a ball around, throwing it against the side of a building or whatever. So I put a lot of time into it.
Yeah, you like a lot of the guys we've had on this Wishbone Boys Wednesday segment talk about how you had other options out there that you were looking at. Maybe even Alabama wasn't your first option. I don't know how many guys we've had on said, well, I want to go to Florida or Tennessee or Auburn. There have been several of those, and it is interesting you landed at Alabama. You kind of referred to it a bit, but was there a lure from Coach Bryant that kind of helped make that decision, or was it somebody else on the staff, or you said you liked the way the practices went? What was it maybe that was the key defining moment that said, all right, I'm going there?
Well, like I said, I didn't follow college football. I kept up with LSU, right? I kept up with it. I listened to their games on the radio at night. Jimmy Taylor and Billy Cannon, those guys were, the guys that I grew up admiring and following. And in fact, the quarterback at LSU my junior year was a guy named Nelson Stokley. And they ran an offense maybe similar to what we did in high school. It was a rollout quarterback on the corner kind of thing, making decisions. So that interested me, but I'd never been to a game, never been to a college game. So I just, whatever I could gather from the listening to it on the radio. And the few times that LSU was on TV, maybe an Ole Miss game or something, they were on TV. But so I didn't see a lot of college football, just didn't sit down to watch it for the most part. But the first day I went to Alabama, I think I was playing South Carolina. It was my junior year. Staples was quarterback. First time I'd seen him play a game. Toward the end of the game, one of the assistant coaches came over and told me that to stick around after the game, Coach Bryant wants to take you over to his house. So there was probably a lot of recruits there, maybe 30 guys there. Five of us went over to Coach Bryant's house that afternoon after the game, and he took us down into his basement, his trophy room, and then they saw all the memorabilia on the wall and what have you. And we visited a little while, and we had a picture made, and we were standing in a line. And I had broken my collarbone toward the end of the season, the last game of my high school year, so I was standing on the end of the line with my broken collarbone away from everybody else. So and he walked around and stood on my end and put his arm around my shoulder and had the picture made. So, that was pretty, for a little naive country boy, that was pretty strong stuff. So, but the whole recruiting experience, and goodness, when you learn the history of Alabama, the championships and everything, I don't know how I could turn it down, but it was a tough decision. Wanting to go to LSU all this time, but they didn't recruit me like Alabama did. My senior year, there was somebody from Alabama in Bogalusa every week during the season. Now, they didn't necessarily visit with me, but one of the coaches would tell me, hey, so-and-so came by. And John Mosley and Eddie Bo Rogers were the main guys who came through town. But the coaches would tell me that Eddie Bo came by and said, hey, hi, and they'll see you soon. But I saw a lot of them during my senior year at school. So it was just once I learned the tradition and what was available, I asked my high school coach, Coach Leos, one day walking. I was trying to make a decision because I really was considering LSU very strongly, obviously. But I asked Coach Leos what he thought, where I should go to school. And he just looked at me and said, it really doesn't matter. In 5 or 10 years, nobody's going to remember where you went anyway. So go to where you think you can get an education. And then he looked at me, he was left-handed, and he pointed his left finger, like he always did in practice, whatever. He'd stick that left-handed finger out at you. And he said, besides that, I don't think you're outgoing enough to make it anyway. And and it was true. I was very shy in high school, like a lot of guys are, I guess, but extremely shy. And a quiet leader, I guess. I wasn't a rah-rah, get everybody up kind of guy to do their job. I just did mine, and people followed that. So that led with me through the early years at Alabama. There was a lot of times at school, everybody goes through it where you think, man, did I make the right decision? I was redshirted. That wasn't a whole lot of fun, but it was a good experience for me. So during that period, you think a lot about, man, why didn't I go here? Why didn't I go there? But I always could see that left finger sticking in my face, telling me that I wasn't outgoing enough. So that had a lot to do with it. Coach Leos was a great motivator, and he had a lot to do with my success.
Terry Davis is our guest on our Wishbone Boys Wednesdays, and you did end up at Alabama, as you mentioned there, 1970-72. One thing we found out, too, with a lot of guys we've talked to, there were we knew scholarship restrictions back then. So, yeah, tons of guys out there, and you're competing against a bunch of them. You're a quarterback, and I guess you probably got like 7 or 8 guys out there that are vying for the job. What was that like?
Well, it was a lot of competition. I know my freshman year, when we still had freshman teams and freshman games, I played very little quarterback. I think I started the first game against Mississippi State, but I played a couple games strictly on defense. I played defensive safety. Never played defense in my life. But I think that's by design. Coach Bryant would stick, if you had any ability to play defense, would put you in those situations. And maybe to help you learn a little bit about how defense is strategized or whatever to play against different offenses. So, but I did play a lot of defense. Going into the junior year when we didn't know, I guess through spring training in 1970 or 71, the spring training after the 70 season going 6-5, we stayed with the pro set offense all through spring training. And there was probably 4 of us, competing for the job. And I was able to, I guess, keep my head above, a little bit above everybody else during that period, although it was not a great offense for me. I thought Billy Sexton who just looked like a prototypical pro quarterback, a pro set quarterback. He was tall and lanky and had a great arm, and so I thought that was the guy I had to beat, and I was able to, I guess, maintain a little bit of edge over him. So coming back in the fall, again, there was no restrictions on quarterbacks, and I think there was when Coach Bryant announced the wishbone, we immediately went down to the lower gym. I think there were 6 or 7 quarterbacks down there that Coach Mal Moore started working on the mechanics, the footwork of the offense. So there was a lot of competition, a lot of good athletes, obviously. You had to work, and it worked out for me. It was a great offense for me, obviously. My quickness, footwork, hand and eye coordination, all those things you need to be able to do to run that offense. I was blessed with those skills.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're able to run as much as you could throw, and you could do it both. I guess you were the predecessor to what we call these dual threat guys in a wishbone offense, because you passed for 1,328 yards in your career. That just is hard to fathom, but that's the way the game was back then. You ran for just under 1,000, so you were on the ground more than you were passing, and Alabama didn't throw the ball very much.
That's right, especially the first couple of years, and truly the first year in 71, we only had a handful of plays. You know, we had the basic option, which in itself is 3 different plays, but we had 4 or 5 plays, maybe 2 or 3 pass plays and the option play, and we had a couple of counter plays, that sort of thing. But so the offense was very limited, and if you're running the offense, the wishbone offense, and you've got we had a tremendous offensive line anchored by John Hanna, but we had Jim Croft at center, Buddy Brown, Steve Sprayberry, Jimmy Rosser, Jack White. We had a tremendous offensive line. We had a stable full of running backs with Musso and Joe LeBoux and Ellis Beck and Wilbur Jackson and Steve Bisciglia. So we had a tremendous offensive talent in the backfield and on the offensive line. So if you couldn't run the ball, then we weren't going to make a living passing the ball in those early days. And with that offensive line, we were able to control the ball with the run, and which is what you do with a wishbone. So it was, the way you think about the receiver, David Bailey was the receiver my junior year, and he had just come off a season in 1970 where I think he caught 80-something passes. You know, so here's a guy that's got to make the transition to become a blocking back, and the prospect of catching very few passes. So. But as a team effort, nobody, there was no complaints, nobody, I think everybody was tired of losing as many games as we lost in 6-5 two seasons, and welcomed the change to be able to win football games and get a chance again to play for national championships. So everybody dialed into it, and we were very successful with it.
What about the 71 game against USC when it was unveiled, the wishbone, and really surprised everybody?
Right. Again, we didn't know we were going to run the wishbone until we got back to school in the fall of 71. We had 3 weeks to put the offense in and to keep it hitting. That was the neatest trick. Nobody knew. There were curtains around the field in my first years there, the first 3 years I was there. They were never used. But when we started the wishbone, Coach Wright started pulling the curtains on the football, on the practice field around the main field, so people couldn't see what we were doing. So we kept it secret somehow, and got to Southern Cal in the pregame and the day before when we arrived, and we go through a little workout there. We never lined up in the wishbone the whole time. Pregame warm ups, we never lined up in the wishbone. So it was a total surprise to them. They were a heck of a football team and had great talent, and they were able to adjust during the game to slow it down a little bit. But the first half, we pretty much did what we wanted to offensively, and of course they made some adjustments at halftime, and we went a little bit more conservative than if you can with six plays go conservative. But we didn't throw the ball much in the second half. We threw five or six passes the first half, which was a lot of passes, but I don't think we threw any the second half. So, but yeah, it was a surprise to them, and from there. But each game was a challenge because it was a new offense. Each team you play has another week to prepare for you. The cat was out of the bag there. I thought you were running the wishbone, so we had to prepare for teams that were better prepared to play against the wishbone. So each week was a challenge, and each week went on to build our confidence in it. So after the Southern Cal game, we ran through the schedule pretty good until the LSU game in Baton Rouge, and we won 14-7. It wasn't a great offensive game for me. I had probably just the distractions of the game. The stadium was unbelievably loud. It was hard to communicate in the huddle. In fact, I couldn't hear myself talking. When I called play, I couldn't hear myself saying the play. And everybody was scratching together trying to hear what I was saying. So the distractions of the game were as strong as anything that I ever played against. So, but we were able to win that game. And then from then on, we rolled through the games pretty good until the Nebraska in the Orange Bowl. But it was a great first year going into 72. We had a lot of guys coming back. Still had a great nucleus, and we built on it the first year and continued the second year. So, and from then through the 70s, one of the greatest football periods in football history. So, people, this Wishbone Boys film coming up, people that didn't get a chance to see it or want to learn more about it, it's a great opportunity to see and talk to some of the players. I know there's going to be a lot of guys there, but to see the film and see the what everybody thought about it, coming from the player standpoint, and the work that went into it from the coaching staff. My goodness, Coach Moore worked as hard as we did putting that offense in. Because when we'd break off in our groups, the quarterbacks would go with Coach Moore to a little area on one of the practice fields and be just him, a center, and our backs. And he'd work on the defensive side. He'd be the defensive tackle for a series of plays, and then he moves to defensive end, just showing us the different looks that we're going to see. And he ran every play. I mean, we ran a few plays, and then somebody else would take over. So he really worked very hard at helping us to be able to run that offense.
It's an incredible beginning to a great decade, the early 70s, as you were the man at the helm at quarterback. The games that come to mind, obviously the USC game you referred to, that win in Baton Rouge, the 71 win over Pat Sutherland, the Heisman Trophy winner. Of course, there's the punt Bama punt next year and your final
year.
I shouldn't have brought that up. I'm sorry. Your final season as a senior. Is there one game that stands out more than any others? Is it any of those we just referred to or something else?
The LSU game for me was always special, and particularly my senior year, it's probably the best game offensively I had. And playing against Pat Sullivan, Burt Jones, and competing favorably with those guys. Those were probably my two best offensive games that I had. But playing against, I played against Joe Ferguson at high school. We played a high school playoff game against Ferguson. So I competed against some of the better quarterbacks in the country, which was a highlight and a test, I guess you'd say. I wanted to play as well as I could against those guys. But those games, the Auburn game, obviously, is always big. Losing to them and the way we lost to them was just the most disheartening thing that happened, I guess. But yeah, overall, we had 121 games, lost three, and played for a national championship, and was in the hunt for another one. So 2 years of some pretty good success, and then from then on, and you look at, you know, when you go to Alabama, Coach Bryant, the first thing he tell you, we're not here to win an SEC championship. We're here to play for the national championship. If you're in the hunt for the championship, then everything else will take its place. So each year, you know, that builds a lot of pressure as you go through the season. Each game becomes so much more important. So getting to play Nebraska in the championship game, playing as poorly as we did, was a letdown, but not so much in terms of where we've been and how we got there. So we started in the 72 and losing to Auburn, being ranked number two in the country, and losing to Auburn in that game was really a deflator. But we were in the hunt, and that's and then from then on, you look, Gary Runlitz, Jeff Runlitz, Richard Todd, Stedman Cheely, all these guys won national championships running the wishbone offense. So my hat's off to them, because those teams were able to go ahead and complete the job and win those championships. So that's who I would point to as the guys who did their jobs the best. Those four guys, and then there may be another one in there that I'm leaving out that contributed to that. But those four quarterbacks, to me, were the best.
It began with you, and it rolled on into those guys you just mentioned. You were the SEC Player of the Year in 72. You were fifth in the Heisman voting as well, something that maybe doesn't get mentioned very much because it's one of the best that Alabama's ever had, obviously, and they didn't have a Heisman
winner. That's true. That's like kissing your cousin, though, right?
Yeah.
nobody remembers that until somebody brings it up.
Right.
But that was a highlight. That wasn't something that I'd ever even thought about. And it was after the LSU game in 72 in Birmingham, where Coach Pride mentioned to reporters that he threw my name in the hat. And from there, it took off. And I was able to get some votes for it. So that was a particularly good highlight, I guess you'd say. Yes, sir.
Pro football wasn't in the cards for you. Was it because of your size? Was there a reason why you never got kind of a shot at the next level there?
Yeah, I think maybe it was desire had a lot to do with it. I figured out running the wishbone for 2 years. The most I ever weighed in college was 167 pounds. I wasn't very big. I was pretty quick. I don't know that I could play quarterback in the pros. I didn't want to. I decided sometime during middle of my senior year that that was going to be it for me. I didn't really have any desire to play pro football. So I did get a couple of invites to go try out, but I decided I'd go another direction. So I didn't pursue it.
So you went into the workforce, and now you're an Ozark. I guess, are you retired these days?
Yes, sir. I've been for some time now.
And what do you do to pass the time?
I honeydews, you know, that kind of thing. We got 6 acres here, and there's a lot of yard work to do. And I play golf some. Golfing has slowed down a little bit. I had back surgery about a year ago. Not major, but any back surgery is major. But it's taken a couple of years to get back where I can swing the golf club like I used to. So I'm beginning to play a little more golf than I did. And we go camping up on Lake Eufaula, do some fishing and camping up there. I have plenty to do, and it's hard to stay. I'm not a very good retired person, but it's hard to stay in the house and around the yard. I'm not very good at. I can't see dust very well, so my wife complains that I don't clean enough. But she's good. She knows I'm not a good cleaner, but I do what I can around here, and then we have the camping and the golfing to fall back on.
I'm sure you still enjoy some Alabama football too, right?
I enjoy watching it on TV. And like I said earlier, I've never been a great spectator. I don't enjoy going sitting in the stands watching.
always like to be. It's like going to watch a golf tournament. I'd rather be playing golf than watching one. Same with football. You know, so just hard to sit there and watch it. So, but I do follow it very closely. Goodness, they're on TV every week. So why would you go sit in that hot sun and watch it?
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. And so I enjoy it. I do. I'm full for them. And my goodness, what Saban has done since he's been there is fantastic. So all the luck and success they can have, I'm all for it. They've got tremendous talent. The game has changed so much. Who would ever thought Alabama would be running the offense they're running today? And who would have thought they'd ever gone to the wishbone back in those days? So it changes. I guess it's a circle. It'll go back around to a running game sometime at some point. But it's extremely the team they had last year was just amazing how efficient that offense was with the talent they had on the field. It was just amazing to watch.
Well, it's so fun to catch up on old times with you, and we look forward to the documentary coming up. Terry, thanks again for being with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, enjoy things down in Ozark. Maybe we'll see him at a football game when the Tigers and the Eagles get at it and the season coming up, Carroll High School. Terry Davis with us here on the Wake Up Call for our Wishbone Boys Wednesdays. Well, you want to get to see the documentary? They're going to have it in Tuscaloosa at the historic Tuscaloosa Theater. It will be on August the 28th. The marquee's up. You can see it now in downtown Tuscaloosa. Wishbone Boys Wednesdays here on the Wake Up Call.